In the name of God, the most compassionate, the most merciful, I would like to express my regards to all the dear viewers. And this is your program, Insight. This program is aired by Jami Jam Network, and I hope that today's program would be useful for you. Eventually, it's 27th of February, and the report by UN Arms Inspectors was submitted to the UN Security Council, and it had different reactions. The text of the report had a number of interviews, and interviews by U.S. and European officials is of great importance in this connection. And this report will determine the fate of Iraq. Please do stay with us.
Welcome back. As I told you some hours ago, Hans Blix, chief UN weapons inspectors, along with Mr. Al-Baradi, who is the director general of IAEA, presented their report about the inspections carried out by UN arms inspectors in Iraq. The report by United Nations Arms Inspectors is a multilateral report, and as a whole, the report portrays an unsuccessful picture of the mission by UN Arms Inspectors. It has been reiterated in the report that the Iraqi government has not had necessary cooperation with the UN Arms Inspectors, and it has avoided offering necessary information to Arms Inspectors. The prospect of the report indicates that Iraq is still in possession of chemical warehouses as well as biological warehouses which can be used for the production of weapons. In this report, emphasis has been put on the possibility of production of chemical and biological weapons by Iraq, and less attention has been made to the production of arsenals. But as a whole, there is an ambiguous picture of Iraq's arsenals, and this indicates the failure of Resolution 1441 as far as necessary inspections in Iraq is concerned. Immediately after following this report, the Security Council convened a session behind closed doors and looked into the report. Of course, the report is very detailed, and we do not intend to go through the report. But today we are going to discuss about the reactions followed by the presentation of this report to the UN Security Council. The first reaction was statements by U.S. State Secretary Colin Powell, and he took part in different televised interviews, and he used a war rhetoric against Iraq. Actually, Powell
referred to the existing possibilities in Iraq for the production of chemical weapons. He spoke about six tons of necessary substances for the production of chemical weapons, and Powell has asked what has happened to these materials. And the U.S. administration knows the type of weapons that Iraq has in its possession because the U.S. administration has helped Iraq a great deal in the course of the Iraqi-imposed war against Iran. And therefore, it is aware of the weapons that Iraq has. Colin Powell also referred to the possibilities for the production of anthrax, and he also referred to the 6 tons of substances that can be used for the production of biological weapons. Despite
the
statements by U.S. Secretary of State, we see that Colin Powell has called on the Iraqi government to be more flexible and to extend further cooperation, and the international community must show some signs to the Iraqi government. The statements by the U.S. Secretary of State indicates that there is still time remaining till implementation of other actions, and that this is actually another opportunity must be given to the Iraqi government. In Europe, German and French officials have emphasized the necessity for extending the opportunity for arms inspectors in order to find a proper response to the existing questions. The British press have showed that the report indicates the preliminary stages of a U.S. strike against Iraq, but Mr. Brzezinski, in a statement, has said that this report can bring another opportunity for Iraq in order to have arms inspectors carrying out their operations inside Iraq. Therefore, we witness various reactions by the international community, and it's a little bit early to have a clear conclusion of the possibilities in the future. Therefore, we will discuss this topic next week. Last week, the President of the Islamic Republic of Iran traveled to India. The trip by President Khatami to India is one of the important trips by the Iranian president, and he also took part in celebrations as a special guest marking Indian Independence Day and Indian Islamic and trade circles warmly welcome the Islamic Republic of Iran's president, and this is indicative of the importance of this trip. Now, let's have a look at the political and security doctrine of India and its position in Asia. Welcome back. In previous weeks, we spoke about different aspects of terrorism in previous weeks, and due to another event which took place, that is President Khatami's trip to India. Today we are going to discuss India's political and security doctrine, and we will continue our debate about terrorism next week. Dr. Abbasi, as usual, is our guest. He is an expert in political affairs and strategist. Thank you much indeed for joining us in this program, Dr. Abbasi. I'm sure that our viewers will wait for the continuation of our debate about terrorism in upcoming weeks. With regard to President Khatami's trip to India and the warm welcome extended to him in India, and as I mentioned, Indian scientific, commercial, and Islamic circles warmly welcomed him, and President Khatami also took part as a special guest in India's celebrations marking India's Independence Day. Please tell us about the political doctrine of India in the region, and tell us about India's approach towards its neighboring countries, particularly Iran.
In the name of God, the compassionate and merciful, I also wish to say hello to my fellow countrymen, to all Iranians living outside. And we have a snowy day today, and I would like to say you a very good evening to my to Iranians in Canada, in the United States. Of course, we are going to speak about the country of Taj Mahal, the country of Tagore, the subcontinent poet. And we know about the similarity between our culture and the Indian culture. We have a lot of common historical bonds. And of course, once India was a neighbor, and now Pakistan has become our neighbor. In fact, India has always been a civilizational neighbor to Iran for over 5,000 years. We are going to talk about one of the most populated countries of the world, its exceptional situation, and the geostrategic position of the country that faces in the north, that faces China to the north and west, Afghanistan, east China, Nepal, Bhutan, or Myanmar. And the area is two times, the area of India is two times that of Iran. And the uncontrolled population in India will make India in a couple of years as having the highest population in the world, more than China. The political doctrine of India must be divided in two parts, domestic policies. Of course, we should focus on the situation in the subcontinent, on its civilizations over the centuries, and the multi-ethnic, multi-racial, and multi-religious societies. And its democracy has been recognized as one of the most as one of the most tolerant democracies of the world. India is recognized as the largest democracy of the world. And of course, we should also analyze that philosophically. The Indian political attitudes must be taken into account under its special situation, the multiplicity of races, ethnic conflicts. and everything like that. With regard to foreign policy doctrine, we see that India is looking, first of all, to its relations with the countries in Asia, Southeast Asia, and now one of the other priority areas of India has been Central Asian Republic, West Asia, over the past years, especially India's attention to the situation in Afghanistan. India is going to develop its to take concrete steps in economic development programs.
Well, in the past 50 or 60 years after its independence, India, we can also name it the country of Gandhi from the political viewpoint. After its independence, India became a power among developing countries and also led the non-aligned movement. But such a position led to a very close competition with China in such a way that China posed certain threats against India. Anyhow, India enjoys a particular security doctrine in the region from the viewpoint of its area and its neighboring threats, such as China. What is your assessment of India's security doctrine?
Yes, as
India believes that Pakistan is the most serious threat to its security. We know that three wars took place between the three countries in 1948, in 1965, and in 1971. And in all these three wars, there has always been no war situation, no war, no peace situation, and that still continues. And of course, we do not see a final victory. We haven't seen a final victory of the three conflicts. One of the disputed areas between the two countries is Kashmir. But of course, in 1962, India has a limited encounter with China. And when we are going to talk about domestic security, the most important thing is Kashmir. Kashmir is regarded as the crown of India. A small part of Kashmir is seized by China. China occupied it in 1962. But the main conflict, Jammu, is Kashmir.
موقعیت استراتژیک اینجا به این دلیل هست که اگر کسی در اختیار داشته باشه کشمیر رو بعد از کشمیر در واقع دشت ها و فلات اصلی هند آغاز میشه و از نظر موقعیت استراتژیک در داشتن کشمیر هر کشوری اون رو در اختیار داشته باشه در واقع کلیت و تمامیت ارضی هند رو میتونه تحت و جنرال های هندی معتقدن اگر کسی اونجا رو در اختیار داشته باشه به سادی میتونه با 4-5 لشکر زرهی
that any country that controls that area can pose a serious threat to the security of India with a limited military force. Yes, all of these problems must be traced in the influence, in the area of colonialism. You know, these parts were separately, little by little, were separated from India. For example, Bhutan, Sri Lanka, and others. But as I said, these borders were drawn by the British.
And they did it
so that the conflicts remain forever. among all these nations. In foreign policy, India must focus to deal with, must deal with the threat of Pakistan. Now we know that Pakistan has access to nuclear weapons, but of course, India has had greater technological advancements over the past years. Because of its satellite technology, the army of Pakistan is totally dependent on the U.S. weapons, but the military of India is dependent on the Russian arms and on its own military technology. And of course, the world for some time was haunted by the possibility of a nuclear war between the two nations about a few years ago. But the security doctrine of India is to repel the foreign threats, especially against Pakistan. And in domestic policy, as I said, they have deployed 5 to 7 to 9 divisions along the borders with Pakistan in Jammu and Kashmir. And of course, they also have some limited operation. They also have some limited operation in Sri Lanka a few years ago.
Now let me ask our dear viewers that if you're willing, you can give us a call and tell us about your viewpoints. We're speaking about the political doctrine of India on the occasion of President Khatami's trip to that country. Another point that we can mention about India is the existence of different ethnic groups in India. There are over 3,000 different languages spoken in India, and this indicates the existence of different tribes and ethnic groups in that country. As you mentioned, there is a very good coexistence among these ethnic groups, and India enjoys a special social status. Despite the existing shortcomings and the traditional characteristics in that country. From what is your assessment of the social doctrine of India?
A crucial issue about India is the population explosion. Bangladesh is the second country. You know, the country is very small, but it has 150 million population. In Pakistan, 140 million. And it is not yet controlled, and the resources are limited. So all these three countries are facing a population explosion. And in Afghanistan, we may see the same problem in the future. But of course, they cannot, for example, rush to other countries, to neighboring countries, and they also have no resources to deal with these large populations. Of course, I know that the degree of tolerance is very high in India. But of course, we know that there is conflicts between Muslims, Hindus, Sikhs, and Hindus. And in Babri Mosque between Hindus and Muslims, golden Babri between Sikhs and Hindus. So there are ethnic confrontations. There is the problem of population increase. There is a grave economic problem. The government has a lot of problems to upgrade the living standards because of the population. It's more than a billion.
So, به طور عمومی الان خانواده
در اونجا به شرایطی داره هند تلاش کرده که خانواده در اونجا حفظ کنه families اما نظر به این روند گذشته در are considered very important and the government of India has tried to protect the institution of family but over the past years many families were disrupted divorce rate is going high Girls from India are sent to other countries for prostitution, especially in Arab countries. So, the main orientation and the main policy of India is to reduce population, to raise the standard of living.
35 سال پیش آغاز کرد
این اخیراً در حالی هست که در چین استارتد که در این زمینه از 35 years ago
And in this connection it enjoys very good assistance by the international community
وقتی که به شرق آفریقا نگاه می‌کنیم
Now when we look at
East Africa,
we see that a lot of Indians have traveled to that region, and we see, also see Indians immigrating to South Africa. In Asia, we also see some countries such as Malaysia, Australia, and Indonesia. We see so many Indians living in those
وسعت زیادی از خاک آسیا رو در بر
گرفتن
با توجه به سلیقه فرهنگی هند که به هر حال هند یک کشور فرهنگی بوده
present in all parts of Asia
و در حقیقت بارور بوده
bearing in mind the fact that
اولا در داخل خود هند دکترین فرهنگی کشور و
تشعشعات
توجهات فرهنگی در هند از طرف هندی های مقیم کشورهای
دیگر
چگونه میتونه تسلط پیدا کنه به بقیه
Indians living in other countries towards India.
خب نکته مهم اینه که هند تا تقریبا 200 سال پیش به دلیل حضور
the previous 200 years India due to the existence of Iranian culture there
زبان فارسی بود.
فارسی was the main administrative language of India.
به دلیل شرایط اون انحطاط فکری و اخلاقی که اونجا به وجود میاد.
In the past of 250 years ago due to the existence of the British colonialism, English language is the prevailing language in India and therefore we see that the Indian culture has been harmed and Indians when they speak they actually combine English language with Sanskrit therefore we see that their cultural situation in India has been disrupted and it has a 5,000 years of historical background And there are prominent scholars in that country. We have Hinduism and Buddhism
in
India. These are the key elements that should be considered in the Indian history. Anyhow, India has a very basic characteristic. Bollywood, for example, it's competing in Hollywood. Bollywood produces over 1,100 films.
در واقع موزیکال جهان میگذره عمرش همچنان سینمای 100 درصد موزیکالی است که برای
این که Indian در واقع movie industry is a musical one in order to present a sort of excitement to people's daily life and this somehow indicates the cultural doctrine of India the cultural doctrine of India is moving toward restoring its cultural values and we can also see this reflected by the Indian
artistic works and architecture. And actually, India seeks to purify its culture.
Anyway, India cannot be simply ignored, especially in cultural matters. It's an old country, old civilizations, thousands, more than thousands of universities. We have a caller. Hello, sir. Go ahead. I don't know where you are calling from. Hello.
I would like to say hello to you, Mr. Abdul Rashidi. I would like to also say hello to your guest. I'm calling from Denmark. Dr. Abbasi, considering the recent situation and the statements by the U.S. President, I wish to know your opinion about India's policy, which is very sensitive for the region, and I believe that India can be a source of support for the region. What is the role of India's policy in this connection, and what measures has India so far taken in order to avert a war in the region? This is actually one aspect of the issue, and in this connection I also wish to refer to the Hajj pilgrimage rituals. With the prevailing condition and the Hajj rituals going on, actually Hajj pilgrimage seeks to create unity among Muslims. Can we release a resolution with the unity of Muslims in order to avert a war in the region? And each of the Muslims traveling to Mecca represents his own country, and these Muslims represent particularly the neighboring countries of Iraq. And my third question is that in the existing situation, is it possible for Islamic states to resist the war and actually step out of the United Nations, and by this measure they can show that through their unity Islamic states would be able to prevent a war? I wish to know your opinion in this connection.
Thank you, Shahriman, for your call. I think there are a few, you asked a few questions. The question is about India, the role of India, and future developments in Iraq. I want to refer to a statement from Colin Powell. Last night he said there are documents of cooperation. There are documents indicating cooperation between Iraq and Al-Qaeda, and these documents will be published very soon.
بله من سلام عرض می‌کنم خدمت جناب شهریور
در دانمارک و به خود شما. I would like to say hello to Mr. Shahriver, our dear friend in Denmark.
به هر جهت کشور هند نقش متوازن کننده بسیار بالایی در منطقه داره.
India can play a key role for establishing a balance in the region.
مبارزه با تروریسم در سال گذشته به وجود آمد.
After the formation of the coalition for fighting terrorism in the world, India also joined this coalition and believed that terrorist networks enter India through its borders, and he mainly meant the Pakistani side, and every country in the coalition against terrorism sought to have its own share, such as China, Russia, and even European countries. India, therefore, was a part of the coalition against terrorism, and As far as the U.S.-British unilateral action against Iraq is concerned, so far India has not confirmed such a move. Of course, India is facing shortages from the viewpoint of its energy resources, and it does not have...
از این منظر actually, it cannot tolerate
an energy crisis in the region.
And
it has had an active diplomacy and is also facing a crisis with Pakistan.
And
it has even accepted Iran having a role for mediation between India and Pakistan.
The second question is about
به طور کلی هم حجر فرمودن هم به طور کلی در بقیه ابعاد در مخالفت با سیاست های استکباری.
حالا این نکته هم مهمه. ببینید هر سال در حج اونجا یک مراسم براءت است، براءت از مشرکین که یکی از گزاره های کلیدی حج محسوب میشه. این مراسم برگزار میشه حج پیلگریمیج هر سال در مسلمان ها اونجا. اما صرفا خب جنبه سیاسی دیتستیشن فرام پیگنز در واقع توده ای و همچنین حوزه در واقع عمومی داره، کارکردش به دولت ها تسری پیدا نمی کنه.
This is a general ceremony and rallies held.
نکته مهم اینه که من لازم تذکر بدم شرایط برای جنگ آماده نیست. امروز اروپا برای جنگ آماده نیست. امروز سازمان ملل برای جنگ آماده نیست. جهان برای جنگ آماده نیست.
The world is not prepared. The United Nations and Europe are not prepared for a war. We only have 50 days remain to the new Iranian year, and if this trend continues,
اگر در بکش زمان به عید به دلیل اینکه هوا در این منطقه خیلی گرم میشه و تحمل نیروهای نظامی برای جنگیدن و مشکلات تکنولوژیکی بالا میره، لذا اگر روند همین استفاده ادامه پیدا کنه مجددا 5-6 ماه احتمال جنگ و درگیری بین آمریکا و عراق منتفی خواهد شد.
There will not be a war for another 6 months.
استعداد نیرویی که آمریکا و انگلیس در منطقه دارن کفاف یک درگیری کلی رو نمیده.
Actually,
شرایط برای درگیری military equipment in the region is not sufficient for. همین الان هم سازمان ملل بیاد بگه آقای پاول و آقای رامسفلد شما که مدام میرید چپ میرید راست میرید میگید که ما نیاز به نظر سازمان ملل نداریم. بفرمایید حمله کنید. بالاخره بعدش کشید.
Need permission by the UN. Okay, go ahead and attack Iraq. After attacking Iraq, you need someone to replace Saddam Hussein. There are 1,200 oil wells in the Iraqi territory, and Saddam has threatened that it will set these wells on fire.
And
last time he posed the same threat, and he destroyed many of these wells, and all world countries were mobilized to extinguish these oil wells.
Now,
there are 1,200 oil wells, and if Saddam feels insecurity, he will destroy all these wells, and it will take 3 or 4 years to extinguish these oil wells, and there will be an environmental disaster. Therefore, such moves by the United States and the claims made by the United States
can be analyzed from the viewpoint of
a cybernetic war,
and these are just claims by the U.S.
The ground is not ripe for
a military strike by the U.S. against Iraq,
and we see that the also witnessed recent measures by Israel in the Gaza Strip,
and
the atrocities by Israel in Palestine also shows the criminal acts by the U.S. Therefore, I ask the viewers not to be affected by the propaganda ploys of the United States,
and جدی حج رو داریم و اصلا در چنین شرایطی آمریکا دست به جنگ نخواهد زد. لذا این تردید رو داشته باشیم که احتمال جنگ جدی باشه. نه، احتمال منتفی شدنش هست.
there is the possibility of a war is not very serious, and there's only 50% of probability for the occurrence of a war.
Well, I refer to Dr. Abbasi's words a few months ago. You know, he said military action against Iraq is 1,000 times difficult.
برگردم به بحث اصلی برنامه که هند بود چون نمیخوام خیلی بشیم حالا قول دادیم که بحث عراق
ان شاء الله talk about to continue our conversation about India and economic policies of India.
در مقایسه با کشورهای چین و بقیه همسایگانی که در شرق این کشور وجود داره از رشد اقتصادی شکوفایی برخوردار نشده ظاهرا تا اونجا که من حالا تو ذهنم هست.
India of course has not enjoyed economic prosperity and of course they made tremendous efforts to do it.
India's economic growth is very high and there is also the shortage of resources in India. And as far as astronomy is concerned, India has had very good growth. Also in the fields of information technology, India has had a great deal of progress.
خب امروز در واقع تقریبا بزرگترین صادر کننده
ایندیا تودی از ا میجر اکسپورتر اف
آی تی و مورد بعدی هم این تکنولوژی در اعزام نیروی کار ارزان به حتی اروپا و محصولاتش در سطح به اصطلاح محصولات خرد در رقابت با چین امروز در بازارهای اروپا و بازارهای کشورهای عربی از موقعیت مناسبی برخوردار با توجه به نیروی ارزانی که داره.
Bearing in mind its cheap manpower and labor force, therefore India enjoys a very sensitive economic position. And as far as software technology is concerned, it has a great deal of progress.
یعنی در واقع در همه حوزه ها رشد نکرده اما در بخشی از حوزه ها ارتقای یعنی بالای 7.8% رو ما در بعضی از حوزه ها می‌بینیم.
Evaluate an 8% growth in most sectors due to the shortages of resources. Some of the sectors have faced certain difficulties. Therefore, the economic doctrine of India takes a look at the markets in Europe and also the North-South corridor, which was also discussed during President Khatami's trip, indicates India's desire to export its goods to Europe.
اون هم در واقع بخشی از همین نگاه اقتصادیشون هست برای تامین منابع انرژی و صادرات کالاهاشون بخصوص در حوزه پوشاک و غیره.
بحث ما در مورد دکترین ملی هند هست.
We continue our conversation about Indian politics and Indian national doctrines.
امنیتی و اجتماعی و فرهنگی و اقتصادی.
Last week, President Khatami paid an official visit to India. Stay with us. We continue our conversation. We have a caller. Hello.
Hello,
Abdul Rashidi. Hello.
Hello,
how are you? Thank you. We enjoy really your programs. Very interesting. Especially Dr. Abbasi is your guest. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Reza. Go ahead, Reza.
می‌خواستم مجددا خدمت آقای دکتر عباسی سلام عرض کنم.
Again I say hello.
واقعا ایشونو دوست داریم و
I like him very much. I like the way he discusses political matters. And I think he has more people like him. Experts, very good understanding, strategies, political observers.
خیلی بهتر می‌شد. و واقعا ما ایشون
We really enjoy the way his arguments.
سلام خدمت شما عرض می‌کنم و
دکتر عباسی hello.
قبول باشه مثل که هفته پیش مشهد تشریف برده بودن.
I know you visited the Holy Shrine of Mashhad last week.
راجع به برنامه هندوستان نیست.
My question is not about India.
ما چرا کلن در دنیا ما چرا از همیشه خیلی ضعیف برخورد میکنیم با مسائل و
از این قدرت صحبت
نمیکنیم. ما کشور خیلی قدیه هستیم، موقعیت بسیار خوبی تو دنیا
take a strong position in the world politics. We have huge resources, potentials, and a lot of means, and we can adopt strong positions vis-a-vis international developments.
I don't know why we are using
our resources.
Yes, please.
تو چه زمینه آقای رضا؟ تو چه زمینه؟ مصداق هم بفرمایید.
مصداقی رو بفرمایید.
کلا تو دنیا وقتی که یه مثلا فرض کنین ما حتی همیشه مثل فرض کنین مثلا مثل بچه های یتیم همیشه سر اون
For example, in the case of the United States, and the attitudes of the United States, for example, the attitudes of Syria, the attitudes of Arab countries,
and
we are not using our force, our power, our resources.
خیلی متشکرم آقای رضا از تماستون. چشم، من احساس شما رو کاملا درک می‌کنم. شما وقتی که این بیان رو می‌کنید، صحبت از اقتدار و عزت می‌کنید. امسال در ایران سال اقتدار و عزت حسینی نامگذاری شده و اصلا این رو بگم، حالا ما در این پیروزی انقلاب اسلامی با همین هدف برای همین هدف رخ داد که عزت و اقتدار ایرانی رو در جهان بالا ببره و فکر می‌کنم که کارا هم کرده. همین چالشی که در برابر سیاست‌های آمریکا در ایران، در منطقه، در جهان داره. آقای دکتر عباسی،
دکتر عباسی، you answer the question.
سلام عرض می‌کنم خدمت شما و از دور دست شما رو می‌بوسم و امیدوارم شما و همه هموطنانمون در خارج از مرزها که در غربت سر می‌برید سالم و سلامت باشید. شما رو از نزدیک در ایران زیارت
می‌کنم. And I look forward to meet you here in Iran.
و زاویه نگاه شما که سوال بسیاری از هموطنان ما در خارج و داخل مرزهاست برمیگرده به اینکه آیا سیاست ملی ما و دکترین ملی ما دکترین اقتدارگرا پاسخ من منتفیه، یعنی در واقع گرایش ما در سیاست خارجی در سیاست نظامی و دکترین نظامی ایران ضربه دوگانه،
military doctrine is concerned. We believe in second
we
do not pursue a hegemonic policy.
آیا ما دنبال این هستیم که در واقع زاویه نگاهمون توأم با در واقع تهدید و برخورد و موارد اینجوری باشه؟ این که نشون بده نسل جوان خیلی خوششون میاد، نسل جوان دوست دارن کشورشون در واقع همچین مقتدر برخورد کنه. این خیلی خوبه، اما شرایطش امروز در دکترین نظامی ما ضربه اول نیست.
Our military doctrine is not a first. Our military doctrine is not a first strike.
همواره But our military doctrine pursues a second strike policy.
But I insist that our military doctrine must be defined.
در واقع ببینید ولی به هر جهت تابع مصوبات شورای امنیت ملیمون و مصوبات مجلسمون. در حوزه سیاست خارجی ما باز هم سیاست کانسل فور نشنال سکیوریتی اند پارلمنت
وی اولسو پرسو دی پالیسی اف دیتان اند دیس پالیسی هاز بین پرسود بای اور گورنمنت فور منی ایرز
اون شک هر چند حد قرمزی به نام حکمت و مصلحت در سیاست خارجی تعریف شده از این جلوتر نمیتونه زلت در آن خواهد باز هم سیاست سیاست تنیز در حوزه اقتصادی و فرهنگی هم باز به همین شد. پس نگاه ما در دکترین ملیمون نگاه ضربه دومه و این در واقع نگاه ما نگاه مبتنی بر رعفت و افراد مبتنی بر ملاتفت بوده، اما اگر بعضی خط قرمزها ازش عدول بشه قطعا موضع ما موضع کلانی خواهد بود و برخورد ما هم برخورد سنگینیست. عرض کردم قبلا تو این برنامه آقای جنرال کینگستون اعلام کرد که ما نمیدونیم با این چه کار کنیم. این خودش نشوندنده
اقتدار عزت ماست و نوچه های فکری
انقلاب اسلامی کوچولوهاشون همونی بوده که گوش اسرائیل رو گرفت از جنوب لبنان بیرون انداخت به عنوان در واقع چهارمین ارتش مقتدر دنیا.
از این جهت خود این یک بخشی از حوزه اقتدار ماست ولی followers of Iran such as the people who forced Israel to withdraw from southern Lebanon
منتظر برخورد اقتدارگرایانه ما در حوزه عمل حسینی
and if the red lines are crossed we will strongly counter those people who have crossed these red lines
thank you Rezan for your call and for your questions we have another call hello اگر مایل هستن خودشون معرفی بکنن و سوالشون رو مطرح
My name is Hassan.
I'm calling from Toronto. Hassan, go ahead.
اولین خواهش من اینه که چون برنامه دوم کنکاش هم که دارید از وجودهای عباسی
I'm going to ask you please to invite Mr. Abbasi to in the other program of Insight.
آمریکا به داشتن سلاح اتمی داره
You know about the sensitivity of the United States about other countries for having chemical weapons or biological weapons or nuclear arms, but they do not show such a sensitivity with regard to India or Pakistan because these countries also possess nuclear weapons. And what are those countries, 12 countries, that support the United States in any possible military action or scenario against Iran? Thank you very much, sir. Dr. Abbasi, thank you very much too, sir. We always watch your programs and we listen to your political remarks. Thank you, Dr. Abbasi. Okay, sir, thank you very much. Of course it is. Dr. Abbasi is very, as an expert,
خب سوال اولش بودی ما بود چشم ان شاء الله در برنامه شما فرصت ندارید در برنامه بیاید
ما جسارت
می‌کنیم
همین هستم که شما عزیزان ما رو تحمل می‌کنید من شرمنده هستم
سوال دوم در مورد حساسیت آمریکا راجع به قدرت‌های هسته‌ای خب از پنج قدرت هسته‌ای سه تاش در آسیا ظاهراً other countries for having nuclear arms چرا آمریکا حساس نیست نسبت به این و پاکستان آنچنان که نسبت مثلا عراق هست یا نسبت به بعضی کشورهای دیگه
خب این برمیگرده به آنچه که پدر همین جورج بوش یعنی آقای جورج بوش پدر در واقع در 1990 تعریف کرد نظام
what was defined by Bush the senior in 1990s
نظام رو شما در عربی انگلیسی سیستم
he referred to the new world order
when there was a system all
the components of the system were coordinated with each other India It's coordinated with the global policy. Pakistan is also coordinated with the global policy.
If
a country was not in coordination with the new U.S. world order, such a country was considered as a threat if it possessed an atomic weapon.
امروز هم مسائلی مثل القاعده و این که مثلا
issues nowadays such as Al-Qaeda whether there is Al-Qaeda in a country or not these are just pretexts
به فرضم الان کشور پاکستان فوقش 5 تا کلاه اتمی داشته باشه
Pakistan for example has 5 atomic warheads or North Korea has 10 atomic warheads but the US possesses thousands of warheads
همونطوری که شما اشاره فرمودید غیر حساسیت قید حساسیت از این منظر بسیار مهمه که
ایالات متحده دنبال این هست که در واقع این رو بهانه بدانند و از طریق این بهانه کشور امنیت رو وادار کنه قطعنامه in order to force the Security Council to issue a resolution in order to put more pressure on certain countries
و همچنین کشور آفریقا میدونید آفریقای جنوبی هم داره سلاح اتمی
US Britain Israel and also South Africa possess atomic weapons.
سوال دومتون که فرمودید در مورد کشور همراه یکیشون کشور استرالیا است که شما دیدید استرالیا وزیرش به دلیل حمایت مستقیم در این قضیه مردم در سیدنی و کامبرا علیه راهنمایی این 12 کشور این کشورهای مثل استرالیا ژاپن و پیرو هستند که عموما بهشون اشاره میکنیم به طور
And we will later refer to these countries.
خب آقای عباس از فرانسه هم زنگ زده بودن مطرح من نمیدونم الان ارتباط داریم آقای عباس سلام میکنم
روز سلام قربان. فرصت خیلی کمه. خیلی بدون هر ماش تایم
آقا عبدالعزیز
سلام
آقا
هلو دکتر عباسی آی ام وری هپی تو تاک ویذ یو.
از اون نترس که های و هو دارد، از اون بترس که سر به زیر دارد.
بله
دکتر.
در مقابل آمریکا فقط ما یک بمب داریم، اونم اسلامه.
Of course we are not going to make much you and cry, but we have a very effective bomb. The power of people and the power of Islam is our effective and strong weapon. Yes, the 12 countries, please, Dr. Abbasi. What are those 12 countries? I think you have time.
One of the countries is New Zealand. One of these countries is Australia.
کشور بعدی ژاپن،
کشور
چهارم انگلستان،
بریتن،
کشور پنجم ایرلند،
آیرلند
که اینها در واقع تو این زمینه همکاری کردن. جالبه کشور بعدی مکزیک، نمیدونم حالا چه دخل و تصرفی به مکزیک داره دخالتش تو این قضیه. و در خود منطقه تا این لحظه در واقع رژیم نامشروع اسرائیل که این همراه هم کشور قطر صداش هم در نیاورد، قطر، ولی قطر هم جزو کشوری که همراهی کرده هستن، موافقت کرده سرفرمانده قطر
countries who have cooperated with the U.S. for having military headquarters
in the region, in Qatar,
Russia, China, France, and Germany are the major countries opposing U.S. military strike against Iraq, and also Iran and some neighboring countries, they are also opposing to a military strike against Iraq.
خیلی جدی گرفته نشد. واقع امر اینه که الان
the reality جنگ is that the occurrence of a war
محدود شده و احتمال این
right
اصلا
now has
از 75 درصد
its possibility has become very limited
امروز به 50 درصد
and the probability for a occurrence of a war has reduced to 50%.
هند بود که البته فرصت نکردیم.
Thank you very much for discussing Indian politics and Indian
مهاتما گاندی در هنگام استقلال هند. فقط یاد بکنم که در تعریف سیاست خارجی و داخلی هند گفت
we want to dominate our own destiny and we want to be our own masters. Father.